welcome you to our Christmas service, but as every year for the last several years, we have one special day in the lighting of the candles. Today we're for people, loved ones who have passed on and gone to their reward. We started this last year of just those who have passed away this year. And Ronnie Nyman, who is Dale Nyman's husband, passed away in January. Dale was a great man here. He loved our children, did awesome in our children's ministry, served for a long, long time. Anita Prestige, Raymond Prestige's wife, and Renice Stevens and Robin Wallace's mother. One of the sweetest ladies God ever placed on this earth. She was just so, so precious, and we've missed her greatly. Jack E. Lewis Jr., Jim Lewis's brother. This is the only picture he could find of him. My Uncle Van was a big fisherman, and my Uncle Van always said that for every day a man spends fishing, God doesn't hold it against him over his lifetime and gives him an extra day for that day. Sue Wilson, who is Gene Wilson's mother, passed away in February. I was able to attend her service at Oak Hill Baptist Church and didn't know her until then, but she was an awesome lady who served the Lord in this city for many, many years and was very active in her church at Oak Hill. Ricky Edwards, which was a Tanya Cobb's fiance, and knew Ricky a long time. Matter of fact, when he was a little boy, he came to this church, and he was taken too young in life, but he was a great guy, had a great mother and sister, and it was just a sad thing to see happen, but we know where he is today. Tommy Goosby Sr., which is Ray Goosby's father, passed away in February. Just a note on Tommy, he came to know the Lord in my dad's ministry on Chapel Street. And, you know, we celebrated 50 years last year of history that the church has existed. And Tommy Goosby actually purchased the property on High Falls Road for this church. He was a good guy. Then we have two sisters. That is Russell Miller's sisters. And on the left is Betty Thorpe. And on the right is Mary Ann Hams. And I was told they were two peas in a pod. Jacob Orr Jr.'s grandfather. That's not the grandfather. Huh? No picture? Oh, my bad. Okay. That's not his grandfather, though. But if you look at Jacob Orr, maybe you can see the grandfather. But he passed away in May of this year. Sue McElroy, Shandy Clay's grandmother, passed away this November. I know her family well. She come from a great family of believers and just a sweet, sweet family. And then Sam Bunn, which is Susan Woodward's brother, just passed away recently and attended his funeral. And Sam was a great, great man of God in this community who did some awesome, awesome things and was a tremendous warrior for this community. And then yesterday, we had the funeral here at 2 o'clock of William Bill Faust, which is Dan Faust's father. Didn't really know him until yesterday, but all three of his sons spoke on his behalf. And, wow, he was quite a man. Just one of the things we found out, he actually moved to, was it Louisiana? He moved to Louisiana, and he played football at Forest Park High School. And his sons played football at Forest Park High School. And every weekend, every football game, he drove 12 hours one way to attend their football games and then 12 hours back. So we all have our loved ones, and aren't you thankful that Christ came so that we have the gift of eternal life? So let us pray. Father, thank you for this time together, for this season. Thank you that you came for us, that you gave your Son that we may have life and have it abundantly, and that we could experience everlasting life. And we know that for all those who place their faith in you and believe in you, they will never perish. They never die. They just transfer from here in this lower level of life to the highest level of life possible. And we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Tell me the story of Jesus, and write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, and tell how he liveth again. Love in this story so tender and clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Yes, love paid the ransom for me.
Wow. Welcome. Good to have you here. Whether you're a member or whether you are a guest, hope that you found in your bulletin, your connection card, something a little different with it this week. I hate to throw you a curveball and get you doing something different, but I'm going to. On the back of it is a place we are this morning have a gift for you as you leave, and that is a t-shirt. Long sleeve because of the time and the season. And those will be available in the foyer, but on the back of that is where you put your sizes, and you just need one card per family, and you can bring that back and drop that off, and we will give you your t-shirts. So sorry if there's any confusion to that. So if you're a member or you're a guest, and then guests, we have an additional gift at the Information Center out there if you'd like to stop by and pick up the cup or the tumbler. Being in the house of God is just amazing. It is, being around God's people is so cool. And the story of Jesus is what is going to transpire and take place this morning. You're going to hear some of the songs. You are going to know all of the words, and some of the songs you may not know any of the words. Every Sunday is important, and we worship him each and every, but on the Sunday before Christmas, we do a little more emphasis and pizzazz on his birth. And so during that time, if you want to sit and reflect, you're welcome to do that. If you want to stand and exalt, you are welcome to do that. Luke chapter 2. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her, for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but an angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others and the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and that the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Lord God, we thank you for this day. As we celebrate, Lord, this season of your birth, Lord, as we worship you this morning,
that mourns a lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come again with us to dwell. The sovereign of all looked helpless and small as God gave the world his own son. And who would have dreamed or ever seen that we could hold God in our hands? The giver of life was born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan to save.
So full of gratefulness today and so thankful for the hope that you give to us in our moment by moment, the hope that you bring to the world, God, the hope you give us in our routine, the hope that you give us in everything we do, the same from day to day, the hope that you give us in our transitions, the hope you give us at home or at work or on the road at church, God, we enter your presence today full of thankfulness. What you've spoken to the lives of the people waiting for the birth of Jesus, that parallels true for us today, God, with the expectation of you, the expectation. expectation of God, of Jesus' birth, and the expectation that he will return, God, and knowing that the best is yet to come. You are our hope. God, we breathe in that hope today. We breathe out all the doubt and all the fear. We breathe in your love and your grace and your mercy, God. We breathe out the discontentment. Lord, we breathe in your goodness today, God. We praise you. You are exalted. We lift you high. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us.
Countless days on a journey that led so far. Endless nights they travel to
week for our family, and really, really, really hard week. And so heavy that even up until this morning, I had the thought of calling David and just saying, you know what? I don't feel like I can give this morning. And I started remembering at the beginning of this series, Dad shared a story of Paul and Silas. And just they're in prison, so it's a difficult situation. And they didn't start saying, you know what? I just can't give. I just can't even walk out the things that I preach. But instead, what they began to do was to sing praises. They began to shout, great are you, Lord. And the awesome thing about the story is not only did their praise in a difficult situation break their chains, but it broke the chains of those who were around them. And because that's the power of thanksgiving, that's the power of walking out what this church preaches. That's the power of being who God's called us to be. Because you know what? Psalm tells me, if I ascend into heaven, Emmanuel is there. If I go down to the grave or to the depths of hell, Emmanuel, God with us, is there. I can fly on the wings and he's there. No matter where I am, no matter where you are, he is within you, he is before you, he is beside you, he is behind you. And he says, I am with you, that I make all things good, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your years look like, no matter what the situation looks like, he doesn't waste a hurt, but instead he says that no enemy formed against you will prosper, and I will take this situation and I will make all things work for your good. That's not some things, even those things that you don't understand and don't seem fair and don't seem right and don't seem just. He says, I'll make that work for your good, no matter what it is. And so as we sing this song, it says, he brings light where there's darkness. It says that great are you, Lord. He heals the brokenhearted. He restores what's been taken from you. And all you gotta do is cry out. All you gotta do is look up and say, thank you, God. The God who's been there, the God who's going to be there, the God who's on the other side of your problem, he's there, he's there, he's there, he's within you. He is Emmanuel. So as we sing this song, stand up, thank him for who he is, and we just give him praise. We thank you, God, Lord, for who you are. And we say, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
for who you are, God, and for just the breath in our lungs, God. We give you praise for that. So many times we forget about just the small things, God, and we're so thankful for that. And in this season, God, I know I, for one, am thankful for my friends and family. And God, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all the people that are here in the body of Eagles Way Church, God. What a blessing and honor it is to serve you here at this church, God. And we, as a whole, God, we just love you. We thank you. And we praise you for all that you are and all that you're going to be, God. In Jesus' name.
How many know that we in him we live and move and have our being? If you don't know that, you're going to know that over the next year. That his breath is in our lungs, and in him we are who we are. Now, the usher is going to come receive our tithes and offerings. And as they're doing it, they're going to have this little card. And if you was here last Sunday, you know what this little card's for. But everybody needs to take one of these cards, okay? You just take it. I'll share about this later on in the talk today. But even your children, if they can write, let them have a card. If they can't write but they can talk, let them have a card, because they can tell you maybe what they want written on this card, okay? So, God, thank you for giving. Thank you for supporting Eagles Way Church all this year. I'm looking so forward to next year. Can't wait. For all of you who needed the cold weather to make it feel like Christmas, God bless you. You got it. For all of us who'd rather have Caribbean weather at Christmas, it's coming for us too. Saw our scripture on the entrance above the door. That's our paradigm shift for Eagles Way Church for this next year, that we focus on not just doing, but being. And that out of our being will come so much more doing. I want to read a passage of scripture that may be a little different for Christmas, but I read some of it last week, but I want to read it and then share some things with you about it. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he picked up?" Others said, He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods. They took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. It should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. As I said last week, the Apostle Paul, all of a sudden, in this one moment, transcends into a philosophical saying. Nowhere else in the epistles does he speak anything like this. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And I was walking, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. He is the one who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve him, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in early times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt. Others said, "We want to hear more about this later." That ended Paul's discussion with them. But some joined him, became believers. Among them was Deion Sanders. I just had to say that. Who would name their son? Who would name their son Deion Sanders or whatever? I just had to go there. I just couldn't help it. A member of the council, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Wow. What a saying. What a word. This unknown God that you're talking about, that you can't grasp hold of, is the God who is with you. He's the God who created you. He's the God who created everything. The Epicureans, this is what they believed. Everything happened by chance. Death was the end of all, and the gods don't care. And pleasure was the chief end of man. Would that be a horrible life or not? Death is the end of all, and all these idols and all these gods, none of them care. And pleasure is the chief end of man. The Stoics that he addressed, they had it close. Matter of fact, they had it closer than a lot of Christians have it today. They believed that everything was God, and that God was a fiery spirit. And what God gave men, life, was that a little spark of that spirit dwelt in them. And when they died, they returned to God. They believe that ever so often, the world disintegrated in a ball of fire and started all over again in the same cycle of events. I want you to notice some things they believed. They believed that God was in everything, that God was a fiery spirit, and that a spark of that spirit was in every man, and it lit their life. And that when they died, they would return to God. And that ever so often, there was this fire that disintegrated everything. And it started all over again in another cycle. I want to submit to you today that there's a fire that's constantly burning, that is extinguishing and disintegrating all the false ideas and false thoughts and false beliefs that we might have about God. And aren't you glad that ever so often in your life and in my life, there's a fire that burns up everything that's not good in my life? That every so often, there's a fire that will burn every false thought, every false idea, every false belief, every misguided idea I had will happen. Who is this God? I'm about to make a statement. When I wrote this down, I just came unglued. Here are men worshiping something less than himself and calls it God. You got it. That ain't got to you yet. Here are men worshiping idols and gods that are less than who they are, and they call it God. So Paul stands up and he says, first of all, let me tell you who this unknown God is. Number one, he's a creator of everything. You see, when God spoke to the Jews, he spoke to them in a redeeming way. He spoke to them about redemption because they're the ones who were first given the oracles of God. They were the ones who God chose as a nation to bless all the nations. And so when he spoke to the Jews, he always spoke to them about redemption. In Isaiah chapter 48, he says, and I forgave, in that context of Scripture, he talks about everything bad that Israel did. All the times they turned from him. But in that portion of Scripture, in Isaiah 48, he says this, and I forgave them all of their sins for my sake. For my sake, not for their sake. And see, when you realize when you forgive everybody, it's not for their sake. It's for your sake. You don't forgive for them. You forgive for your own reason. Because if I don't forgive, then I'm the one bound up. They only, what's for them is to repent. What's for you is to forgive. And he said, I forgave them all of their sins for my sake. Number two, he's the one who guides all of history. He said, I took every nation, I put it here, here, and here, and I set the boundaries. He says, I've guided history through all the nations throughout history. I mean, believe God's in control. Number three, he says, God has made man in such a way that they instinctively long for him. You can go to the deepest, remotest places of the earth, and there's a hunger and a longing in every person's heart for a God. When God spoke to Israel, he spoke to them redemptively. When God spoke to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles, he spoke to them about him being a creator. Now, I want to share with you something very important that it's become my longing heart for next year. There's two things that I want to allow my faith, and I believe if I will focus on two things, my faith will soar. My faith will increase and grow to levels it never has been before. And it's this: if I have faith in the Christ who died upon the cross for me, and I have faith in the God who created everything, and if I can look at the trees, and I can look at the plants, and I can look at the dirt, and I can look at the grass, and I can look at the ocean, and I can look at the mountains, and I can look at everything out here that he created and see God, my faith will soar. My faith will soar because I see the God of creation. And he even said in Romans chapter 1, there's no excuse for not believing in God, because man can look at his creation and know that there is a God. The Bible says that his creation speaks every day. And last of all, he said, in him we live, we move, we have our being. Our being of existence, our being of hope, our being of purpose. We're not here to exist, to go through life haphazardly, but we're here having faith and hope and love, and we see life not as something that just happens, but a hope and a purpose that I have in everything that's going on. Life is more than what the Epicureans believed. It's more than what the Stoics believed. It was and is and can be a life absorbed by God. Not an unknown God. Not a God that we don't know. Because they put God as so superior and man so inferior that man and God could never come together. When God in Genesis said that he created us in his likeness and in his image. And Christ became man. God became man so man could become God. God became man so that man could become God. And the Christ who was marred on Calvary's hill was a Christ that was marred for the marred image that had happened to man in the garden, and that image could be restored to the likeness and to the image of God. You are not nobody. You are not here just existing. You are here as a purpose and a plan for God in the earth. You cannot know God in his nature, in his character, and his being in creation. But this comes by inspiration and revelation, his word, and finally Christ. Amen. Now there's three responses they gave Paul, and they're the same responses we have today. Some mocked. Some laughed. Who is this babbler? Who is this man babbling about? You ever heard somebody just babble? And they babble on and on and on and on, and you don't know what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Who's this babbler? What's he babbling about? He's saying some strange things. You know, some people would think it's strange what we believe. And they laughed at it in contempt. Many people do that today. You walked up to somebody and said, do you know you're a God? Did you know you're creating the likeness and the image of God, that God lives in you, that we are his offspring? Paul said, this is true. You see, it's not just the church who is part of his family. It's everybody. We are his offspring. He said, your poets have said this. Your philosophers have said we are his offspring. And Paul says, and since this is true, in him we live and we move and we have our being. You just have to be awakened to that, to acknowledge that and to know that, because God is not far from you, because he is with us, he is in us, and he's all around us. You can't miss him. You don't have to. We're not trying to find God. God's trying to find you. Forrest Gump had it and said, have you found Jesus? He said, I didn't know Jesus was lost. Who? What are you talking about? We didn't choose him. He chose us. We didn't find him. He found us. We didn't create him. He created us. We are his offspring. We are his children. We just have to wake up to that and to know that. Be awakened to the fact of who we are. And not mock it. And not laugh at it. And not take it for granted. Come, oh, I'm preaching now. Not take it for granted. Not take for granted who we are. Not take for granted who you are. And you can't see God in you until you see God in me. You can't reflect the glory of God in your life until you see the glory of God in somebody else's life. And so you better start looking at all creation as the glory of God, because it is the glory of God. And when you see it that way, you'll reflect it that way. Am I going to laugh at it? Am I going to mock it? Am I going to say, I don't believe this? What am I going to do? Well, the second thing is what a lot of people do. I don't know about this now. We'll talk about it later. We'll procrastinate. Anybody ever procrastinated? Do we have any procrastinators here? I'll do it January. New Year's Eve, I'll make my resolution. I'll change it next year. And next year comes along, and when you're going down the road, be careful, January the 2nd. There'll be so many walking and running, you'll run over somebody. But wait a month and it'll all be over and the roads will be clear again. And they'll wait until next year to do it again. They'll wait until next year to make another resolution. They'll wait until next year to say, oh, I think I'll start it again. They procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate. Oh, I'll become more like God next year. Not now. I'll procrastinate it. But it says, but others believed and was joined to the company. Wow. Aren't you glad that you believed and you were joined to the company? Aren't you glad? You glad? How you doing? I lost my card. Am I seeing my card? There's my card. You can have that card back. You can have your card back. I got my card. You got your card? Here's what this card is for. We got T-shirts to give out at the end. Great T-shirts. You seen them? Yeah. Some of you seen them. I'll show you one. It's cool. I started to wear it today, but I thought I'd wear a red tie for Christmas. Isn't it cool? Our service yesterday at Russian Hope, they wore these, and one of our young boys had it on, and somebody came up to him and said, man, that's a cool T-shirt. What does it mean? He said, well, it means being in the community? I don't really know. I just got it. I got a feeling some of you are going to wear this T-shirt and it's going to take you a few months to know what it means. But you're going to know if you hang around here, you're going to know what this means. You're going to know that it means something really significant and really special. And so we're having, and you don't have to give an offering. Matt, if you can and just want to plant a seed with it for end of the year giving, at the end of this service, the Christmas box will be brought out. And as we're closing out with Silent Night, then you can come down and place your card. And I want you to write one name, one word on this card. There's a scripture that's become so alive to me, and the scripture is, we're not heard from many words. We're not heard from many words. And I want every man and woman, boy and girl, if you can't do it today, do it next week. Maybe doing family communion, you'll have time to reflect. If there's a word, I told them last week, my word for next year is more. That's my word. You can't have that word. You can't have more. Only I can know. You can have more if you want to do that. But think about a word that you want. And this is what we're going to do next year. Every pastor's meeting we have, we're going to take out these cards. And we're going to bless them. We're going to speak life over them. We're not going to pray over them. We're not going to beg God for something. We're not going to ask God to give it to you. We're going to pronounce it and bless it and say it. And you're going to get it. Is that cool? How many believe this is of God? And so this is what I just think about today. If don't just put a word on here just to put a word. If you don't have it today, wait till next week. Just when you have a moment, but put that word on this card and place it in that box. I was just going to do it as family. I thought, no, husbands and wives need to have their own word. Barbara don't need my word. She can't have my word. This is my word. But your children, you know what? They may have a word. Let them write that word on that card. How many know they're created in God's image and God's likeness too? And we're going to see some awesome things happen. And the one in whom we live and move and have our being will come to reality in everybody's life. Is that good news or not? And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. As musicians are coming and prepare our hearts for communion. And how we, if you haven't been here on Christmas, how we do this is that you come as a family, as the ushers will go down the aisles. You come as a family and kneel, and we serve communion. And there'll be a prayer blessing pronounced over you, and just to give you a word of hope and blessing. So if you're here and you don't know Christ, accept him now. Just say, I believe. And it makes you eligible to come and join us as we receive the greatest gift that God ever gave mankind, the gift of life. Amen. So those are going to be helping serve, and if you'll be coming, and then others will be asked to come and to receive their communion. I know some of you already placed your offering and your word in the box, but we want to, as we close out this morning, singing Silent Night together, if you want to come and place your word in here. If you have it already, if you don't, you can do it later. But I haven't seen the movie Star Wars yet. How many have seen Star Wars? You know, I'm going to go see it. I love Star Wars. But I heard that beginning of it. No, I hadn't seen it. But at the beginning of it, how they, everybody gets so excited because of what they say. You know, there's one little saying in Star Wars movie. How many know what it is? May the Force be with you. How many know there's a greater than the Star Wars Force that is with you? It's Christ the Redeemer. Man, God bless you. Let's sing, y'all. If you give not this, I'll tell them what'll happen when we start singing. Leave today, I want to be reminded that when you see people from this size down and up, they're all God. Amen? They're all God. Don't forget that. God bless you. Have a great holiday.